fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Germany, where Bayern Munich is hosting reigning title holder Real Madrid this Wednesday evening in a first-leg UEFA Champions League football semifinal. To say these proud clubs are familiar with each other would be a big understatement. This is the 25th time they've met and the 7th in a European Cup semifinal. The teams played against each other in last season's quarterfinals, and it was Madrid that came out on top. Zinedine Zidane's side won 2-1 in Munich and then 4-2 in Madrid after extra time to progress to the last four. Real Madrid then went on to become the first club to retain the trophy in the UEFA Champions League era and claimed a record-extending 12th European title overall. This is also Madrid's record 8th consecutive UEFA Champions League semifinal, while Bayern is in the last four for the 6th time in 7 seasons. Now, Real Madrid has had the upper hand recently, winning their last 5 matches against Bayern, scoring 13 goals and conceding 4. Meanwhile, Madrid's superstar striker Cristiano Ronaldo has 7 goals in his last 3 appearances against Bayern and 9 in 6 matches overall. Ronaldo leads the UEFA Champions League in scoring this season with 15 goals. In second place on the scoring chart with 10 goals is Egyptian star Mohamed Salah of Liverpool. Salah produced 2 world-class finishes in the first half Tuesday and then set up further goals for Senegalese teammate Sadio Mane and the Brazilian Roberto Firmino to help Liverpool beat visiting AS Roma of Italy 5-2 in the first leg of the other UEFA Champions League semifinal. At the post-match news conference, Liverpool's German manager Jurgen Klopp commented on Salah's 2 goals.
It has a massive impact on that, of course. I like the other boys, of course, as well. But then the first goal is just a genius strike. So he scored already a few like this. It makes it even more special. It makes clear it's no coincidence. And the second goal was brilliant play.
After the brilliant play of Mo Salah against Roma, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp was asked, is he the best player in the world?
Look, you always create stories with only if you think he's the best in the world, write it. Yeah, and don't need or say it, whatever. He is in outstanding good shape, in a world-class shape, 100%. And that's good. To be the best in the world, you need to do that over a longer period, I think. And there are a few others that are not too bad, so why should you? He is a fantastic player. I'm really happy to have him.
In the 75th minute, Jurgen Klopp put in a substitute for Mo Salah, and Roma seized the initiative, scoring 2 late goals. Roma's head coach, Eusebio Di Francesco, says those 2 late goals have given his club a glimpse of hope ahead of the decisive second leg in Rome on May 2nd. Our VOA football fans will remember, Roma has already shown in this season's UEFA Champions League competition that a 3-goal deficit can be overcome. Just 2 weeks ago, Roma beat Lionel Messi's Barcelona 3-0 in Rome to advance from the quarterfinals on away goals. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp comments on his club's 5-2 victory.
It's much better than I could have expected before the game. But now in the moment, of course, I feel the 2 goals we conceded still. But I'm already, to be 100% honest, already in a Stoke game. So I'm much more interested about a Stoke game in the moment than about a second leg against Rome. So, and I said it before and I say it again, the atmosphere tonight was absolutely outstanding. What you can expect if you are 5-0 in the lead, the people really enjoyed it. So, and I say to everybody who has a ticket, I expect exactly the same atmosphere at Saturday at 12:30.
On Saturday at 12:30 p.m. local time, Liverpool will host Stoke in an English Premier League match. Liverpool is currently third on the table with 71 points, 3 points behind Manchester United. Manchester City, with 90 points, has already clinched its fifth Premier League trophy. Meanwhile, the Potters from Stoke City are having a dismal season and are on the brink of relegation. They have 29 points, putting them 19th in the 20-team English Premier League. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Egypt and Liverpool star Mohamed Salah, who now has 43 goals in all competitions since signing with the Reds in June 2017. On Sunday, Mighty Mo won the Player of the Year award from the England's Professional Footballers Association. And now, almost 4 full months into 2018, Mo Salah must be considered the favorite to win his second consecutive African Footballer of the Year trophy. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, let's go back to January 4th, when Mo was crowned the King of African Football in Ghana. And reporter Samson Omale filed this report on the festivities.
The winner is Mohamed Salah.
Congratulations to our CAF African Footballer of the Year.
That was how Liverpool star and Egyptian forward Mohamed Salah was named the 2017 CAF Footballer of the Year ahead of his club teammate Sadio Mane and Borussia Dortmund's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who came in third.
It's an honor to be nominated and be between these two great players tonight.
And Borussia Dortmund's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
I feel very, very good and very happy to be here. It's always a pleasure. Yeah, maybe. I think this time, less pressure.
The 25-year-old Mo Salah dedicated his award to the children of Africa who wants to live out their dreams.
Winning this award is a dream come true. 2017 was an unbelievable year for me. I had a fantastic time with the national team and with the team to qualify to the World Cup after 28 years and to had a great season with the club, with Rome and with Liverpool. And I want to dedicate this award for all the kids in Africa and in Egypt and tell them never stop dreaming, never stop believing.
The event held in Ghana was attended by Ghanaian President Nana Akufo-Addo.
Mr. CAF President, I must say I am impressed with the major improvements you have undertaken within your relatively short stay in office. I'm told that unlike in previous editions, we are joined by previous award winners, as well as all the nominees for all the award categories. This is laudable.
The well-organized award event was a mix of music and sports, with some of Africa's leading music stars like Olamide, Wizkid, and Tiwa Savage, who treated the audience to some of their biggest hits.
Africa, you ready? Ghana, Nigeria, you ready? One time, let's go.
Other award recipients include Women's Footballer of the Year, which went to Nigeria's Asisat Oshoala. This is the third time the former Liverpool and Arsenal ladies forward has been voted as best on the continent.
I want to use this opportunity to encourage all the young girls out there. Don't let anyone talk you down. Don't listen to people. Follow your heart.
Meanwhile, South Africa's women national team, the Bayana Bayana, won the Women's National Team of the Year award ahead of Nigeria's under-20 female team, the Falconets. The Youth Player of the Year award went to Patson Daka of Zambia.
I want to thank you for the support. And to my fellow players, young players, I would like to encourage you that this is the beginning of greater things to come. Let us keep on working extra hard and change the face of African football.
It was a night CAF recognized the legends of the game on the African continent as they were made to present some of their awards to the winners. One name from the legends which kept featuring prominently was Liberia's president George Oppong-Weah. Though represented by his wife at the award event, the Liberian president was given the Platinum Award by the CAF president Ahmed Ahmed.
Well, at least we are gathered here to celebrate African football. We also wish to congratulate one of our legends, new president, Mr. George Weah, who is represented here by his wife. Thank you, madam.
I am extremely proud and honored to be here to receive this award for his honor.
The biggest winner on the night will be Egypt. This is after the Pharaohs were named the National Team of the Year and Hector Cooper, the Pharaohs National Team coach, named Coach of the Year.
I think everyone now is happy in Egypt and all Arab countries. And what we can say here, we promise we can do our best to be the honor of Africa in Russia 2018.
I am very happy for all the people in Egypt and the player, Salah, and all the players in Egypt, for questo premio. Thank you.
From Abuja, Nigeria, it's Samson Omale for the Sunny Side of Sports.
For more on the CAF Awards 2017, we turn to our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori.
Mohamed Salah of Egypt was crowned African Player of the Year 2017. The CAF Awards ceremony held at the Accra International Conference Center was beamed live to millions across the globe and had Ghana President Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo as special guest of honor. Nana Addo was presented with one of the two Platinum Awards, and the other went to football icon George Weah, now President of Liberia. Women's Player of the Year winner was Asisat Oshoala of Nigeria, while Patson Daka of Zambia won Youth Player of the Year. Coach of the World Cup-bound Egypt, Hector Cooper, received the Coach of the Year award, and Wydad Athletic won Club of the Year. National Team of the Year went to the Pharaohs of Egypt, and South Africa took 2017 Women's National Team award. At the CAF Awards was Nigerian football legend Victor Ikpeba. Ikpeba, the 1997 CAF African Player Award winner, commended CAF.
No, it's fantastic bringing all Africans together, bringing past winners here. Yeah. Can't forget about the past. Without the past, we wouldn't be here today. And I want to commend CAF, the new CAF president. You know, well done. Keep it up. And congratulations to Salah, well deserved. Any of these three could have won it. You know? So it's been a special event from the football family in Africa. So it shows African football has come of age.
Were you satisfied with the winner of the ultimate?
No, definitely satisfied. It could have been Mane, it could have been Pierre. These three players have been three of the best African players this year. We know the other players are doing a good job. So, at the end of the day, it will be one winner. But at the end of the day, I think African football is the winner.
Do you think that they are going to carry this to the World Cup in Russia?
Yeah, definitely. Especially Salah with Egypt. First time they are qualifying for the World Cup after 28 years, a long time. They've done well so far. So I think this award will inspire him. We take him to the World Cup in Russia, and I think he wants to do well. He wants to shine. So, and if Salah is doing well, Egypt team is doing well. We want to see an African team doing well. It doesn't matter if it's Egypt, Senegal, Tunisia, Nigeria, where I'm from, or Morocco. We want to see an African team get it to the last four of the World Cup.
At the ceremony, CAF Legend Award was conferred on Ghana's ex-international Ibrahim Sande.
It has been an exciting evening because after winning the award as far back as 1971, which is about 46 years ago, CAF has recognized me again that I have contributed my quota in the development of football in Africa. And so they awarded me. They have done very well, and I think they need to be congratulated.
What about the three awardees? I mean, the first ultimate, who got the Salah Mohamed, who got the ultimate? What do you talk about?
Oh, he has been fantastic during last year and this year as well. And he has been consistent. And so I think he deserves to be the award winner.
What do you say when Ghana, your country, you can see any awardee in the sports?
It's really too bad. It's too bad because... but the three deserve to be there. And our players must learn from this and work very hard to be able to, in the next, maybe the next year's award, at least a Ghanaian must be among the three winners. So we need to work hard, discipline, commitment, and so on, so that they shouldn't be happy about their performance now. They should know that, yes, there are some who are ahead of them, and so they have to catch up.
You have your nice award in your hand. Are you dedicating it to someone?
I dedicate it to all the legend footballers in Africa.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori at the Accra International Conference Center.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The newly crowned 2017 African Footballer of the Year, Mohamed Salah, told reporters in Accra he has big goals and will strive to get even better.
Since I came as a professional, in my mind, I want to be the best player ever in Egypt in the history. So I know what I want. I know how to do it. I'm working hard every day, improving myself. So that's what I want. So I think I'm going well. I'm doing well at the moment. So I'm going to see even in the future, this one and next one and next one.
Egyptian star Mohamed Salah also says he's really looking forward to this year's World Cup in Russia.
I think we have good national team and we did very well in Africa Cup and qualification for the World Cup. We did very well and we qualify. We deserve that. Everyone saw that. And I'm very sure, I'm very happy and very excited for the World Cup, and I'm very sure we're going to do something special in that World Cup.
African Footballer of the Year Mohamed Salah and the Pharaohs of Egypt are in Group A at the World Cup, along with Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, and host Russia. And fans of Mo Salah and the Pharaohs can mark their calendars now. The Egyptian team will play its opening World Cup match June 15th when it takes on Uruguay in Yekaterinburg, Russia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Our VOA listeners can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of me with Segun Dot on the spot Adeyemi, our former Nightline Africa sportsman who visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington on Tuesday.
My name is Segun Adeyemi, nicknamed Segun Dot on the spot Adeyemi, by former VOA Chief of English to Africa, Barry Mon. I worked as a stringer for the VOA for 29 years, during which I hosted an African sports program, Nightline Africa Sports. I stopped working for VOA in 2016 when I was appointed special assistant to the Nigerian president. My long years with the VOA and the wide reach of the radio station raised my profile, gave me much leverage, and opened my eyes to what is possible. The Sunny Side of Sports, the popular program hosted by Sonny Young, was my main platform as a stringer until I became the host of Nightline Africa Sports in my last 10 years with the VOA. Thank you, VOA, for a great opportunity.
Thanks for visiting, Segun. It was great to see you again. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers defeated the visiting Miami Heat Tuesday night 104-91 to advance to the second round of the NBA playoffs. It was an emotional night in Philadelphia, where the 76ers, winners of only 10 games just two seasons ago, made it to the second round of the playoffs for the first time since 2012. The 24-year-old Embiid, who's from Yaoundé, Cameroon, missed his first two NBA seasons because of injuries. But this season, Joel earned his first All-Star Game appearance. Embiid had 19 points and 12 rebounds Tuesday night, and at the post-game news conference, he had this to say.
I'm just thankful to be here because, you know, it goes back to 3 or 4 years ago when it all started for me here. And 2 years ago, we won 10 games. So to be in this position, I'm just excited. But, you know, playing through adversity and, you know, after everything that's happened to me, I'm just blessed. You know, I've been waiting for this moment and kind of promised the city this, you know, making the playoffs. So for my first game here, you know, I was just excited and worked hard for this, and I'm glad we got the win.
With that win, Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers will next play either the Boston Celtics or the Milwaukee Bucks. Boston beat visiting Milwaukee Tuesday night 92-87 to take a 3-2 lead in their best-of-seven series. Philadelphia guard J.J. Redick had a game-high 27 points Tuesday night, including 5 long-range 3-point shots. Redick says he expects a tough, physical second-round series whether the opponent is Boston or Milwaukee.
I think that moving forward, the playoffs get more physical and more intense. And, you know, whoever our opponent is in the next round, whether it's Boston or Milwaukee, it'll be a lot more of the same. You know, there's an adjustment in terms of execution. There's an adjustment in terms of taking care of the ball. And at times we handled it well. But as Coach probably said to you guys, we feel like we still have a lot of room for growth in those areas. And if we do that, then I think we'll be, you know, in a good place and have a chance to win.
Philadelphia 76ers guard J.J. Redick. The defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors also advanced to the second round of the playoffs Tuesday night when they beat the visiting San Antonio Spurs 99-91. Golden State won the series 4-1. Kevin Durant scored 25 points for the Warriors, while teammate Klay Thompson had 24 points. 3 more playoff games will be held later Wednesday night in the NBA. In Toronto, Canada, the Toronto Raptors will host my beloved Washington Wizards in Game 5. That series is tied at 2 each. In Cleveland, Ohio, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are at home against the Indiana Pacers. That series also is tied at 2 apiece. And in Houston, Texas, James Harden and the Houston Rockets will be looking to wrap things up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Rockets lead that series 3-1. And that wraps up the April 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Yeah.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On April 25th, we observe World Malaria Day. It is an occasion to recognize the global effort to effectively control and eventually eliminate this devastating disease. This year's theme is Ready to Beat Malaria. In 2016, 216 million people became sick with malaria, and over 445,000 died. The World Health Organization, or WHO, reports that 90% of malaria cases were reported in Africa, as were 91% of malaria-related deaths. The good news is malaria is preventable and curable. Over the last nearly two decades, there has been a coordinated global effort to eliminate the disease altogether. Between 2000 and 2015, new cases among populations at risk fell by 29% globally. After an unprecedented period of success in controlling this disease, it is clear that there is more work ahead. We continue to focus on prevention. Among the most successful weapons we have against this deadly disease are insecticide-treated nets and indoor spraying with insecticides to kill the mosquitoes that carry the illness, causing parasite. These preventative tools, when coupled with strategies to prevent malaria during pregnancy, low-cost diagnostic tools, and highly effective malaria treatments, dramatically reduce death and disease from malaria. Yet much more needs to be done. To address remaining challenges, including the emergence of drug-resistant malaria, the WHO has developed the Global Technical Strategy for Malaria, which provides a technical framework for all endemic countries as they work towards control and eventually elimination. The first goals to be reached by the year 2030 are to reduce malaria incidence by at least 90%, reduce malaria mortality rates by at least 90%, eliminate the disease in at least 35 countries, and prevent a resurgence of malaria in all countries that are malaria-free. If we are to be successful, donors must help fund the effort. The United States government has been involved in global malaria activity since the 1950s, and today is the largest donor to global malaria efforts, including through its President's Malaria Initiative and U.S. contributions to the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria. Still, if the 2030 targets of the Global Technical Strategy are to be achieved, total funding must increase substantially. On this day, we call on our friends and partners around the globe to reaffirm their commitment to this important effort and contribute the funds and support needed to help roll back and eventually eliminate malaria once and for all.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, join us for a special broadcast on autism, hosted by VOA health correspondent Lenore Madu. She will host a panel of experts to demystify the developmental disorder.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.